It's time once again for our weekly catch-up with Matt Stringer, the RNIB Chief Executive, to look at some of the stories coming from the UK charity. Matt, thank you very much for joining us.
Hello, Alan. My pleasure as ever. Nice to speak to you.
Right, we'll delve in. And we've been talking a lot, and quite rightly so, encouraging people to get involved in a campaign to keep train station rail ticket offices open. There's been a development in that, mainly around the consultation.
They've extended the consultation until the 1st of September, so we're really pleased about that. We were agitating on our own and clearly with a variety of groups, interested groups, other disability charities and other transport organisations to lobby incredibly hard. And so we had some really good coverage as the RNIB. We've done videos of our volunteers and local community teams being out, sharing their experiences at ticket offices where they can't use the facilities, can't access the sort of ticket machine. There's no ticket office open. So the thing we're particularly pushing this week, Alan, is for everybody to write to their MP. This is a critical thing. You know, we need to get MPs sort of deluged with correspondence from their constituents so they really do sit up and take notice, because they can relay the weight of communication they're getting. So I've done a big comms thing internally to our organisation to encourage all our staff to write to their MP. We've got a template letter, and there's also a supplementary template letter to write to your local press, your local newspaper, for example, to also make the point, because again, you know, your letter might get printed. And clearly, the more correspondence local press get, the more likely they are to run an article about it. So we're just trying to up the ante, really. And I would just encourage the listeners to look on the website, follow the link to those sort of templates, those materials, and please use them to influence the decision that will get taken after this consultation window closes.
We will give contact details for the website and so on in a little while. But crucially important, you know, if a ticket office is no longer staffed, the machines are there, yes, when they're working, but also the machines themselves aren't accessible. So if you can't see what's on the machine, you know, whether it's buttons, whether it's touchscreen, you can't buy your tickets. You know, in general, you're always told, you know, tickets when you buy them before you get on the train are cheaper as well. So, you know, it does have a massive impact, and not everyone can use apps or websites to purchase their tickets as well. That's the other way that you can do that. You know, not everyone has the ability to do that, and they're not always fully accessible either.
A couple of things on what you said. You know, we know from our insight how important travel and transport, easy travel and transport, is for, you know, blind and partially sighted people to really fulfill a full life, you know, because you need to get around. You need to get around to work. You need to get around to see friends and family, to indulge hobbies. And we know that it's a minority, only a minority of visually impaired people at the moment feel confident in navigating their way around UK travel systems. You know, partly the environment can be hostile, can be dangerous, as we spoke about many times, the perils of platform edges. It can be impenetrable to find your way around. Communication is often visual. You know, think about train notice boards. You know, all those things aren't set up for visually impaired people. So at the moment, it's hard. And then you take away on the rail network the critical facility of being able to buy a ticket and engage with a human who can not only advise you on the best fare and the best route, but also add a whole ton of other support around just directing you to the platform, helping you find the loo or get a coffee, you know, giving you some advice about something that might have happened on the line, or, you know, where you're going, giving you some advice about, you know, what happens when you get to the other end. You know, all those things are massively important, and they come out of that engagement with the ticket office.
Yep, good news that consultation has been extended. We will bring you more on that, of course, as time goes on. Let's move on to sport now, Matt. I know you want to chat a little bit about C-Sport differently. Interesting football piece. And, of course, the IBSA World Games are almost upon us as well.
It's meant to be the sort of quiet season, the summer, before we rev up into the autumn with another sports programme, but it never goes quiet on the sporting front. You know, we've just had the Ashes cricket, we've got the Lionesses, you know, playing in the in the World Cup, but at the start of the English and Scottish football season already underway, which seems sacrilege in August, but they started, as well as things like the World Cycling Championships going on, World Swimming Championships. We've had World Athletics Championships coming up towards the end of August. So wherever you move, you're finding sport. And critically, we have the IBSA World Games coming in Birmingham. Looking forward to going myself. And as we've said many times, sport is just such a massive benefit for everybody, for their physical, mental health. So, we're delighted to be a sponsor of the IBSA World Games. I'm very much looking forward to a really successful event in Birmingham, hopefully with a bit of sort of late summer weather. This is part of our 3-year See Sport Differently program to get more people back into sport. I've just written the foreword to a program that's designed to get football grounds particularly to become more accessible, and we're pushing that very hard. And I was delighted to see some social media activity from football club that's not too far away from where I live, Bristol Rovers. And there was a really lovely 90-second video from a guy called Ian Holloway, who's a famous old Bristol Rovers player, and he's been manager of a number of sort of football league clubs. He's got four daughters, three of whom are deaf, so he's proficient in sign language. And he was really this video is pushing Bristol Rovers, really showing how fans come and experience the game in different ways. He was talking about his daughters. And during the video, they showed some footage which the screen went dark, and they were making the point about how blind and partially sighted people also access football. And one of the brilliant initiatives that Bristol Rovers have done on their away shirt for this coming season is actually put Braille on it, which is the slogan, everybody accesses sport in different ways. And so delighted to see some interesting things going on that really play to the messages we've got in our See Sport Differently programme.
Yeah, do have a look at seesportdifferently.org.uk for loads on there, helping people get more active and indeed just enjoying sport as well. For more on the topics we've been talking about and to get more information on all of RNIB services, do have a look at rnib.org.uk or call the helpline on 0303 123 9999, and even your Amazon Echo device, if you ask to call RNIB's helpline, it will do that for you as well. Out of time for this week, Matt, thank you very much for joining us again on RNIB Connect Radio.
No, Alan, cheers. Nice to see you, and look forward to seeing you, I hope, up in Birmingham at the IBSA World Games.